Do keep James chapter 1 open in front of you, and let me pray for God's help as we think more about these words. Heavenly Father, we've just been singing that you would speak to us through your holy word. And so as we reflect and meditate upon these words together now, we pray that your word would come alive to us in the power of your Spirit, that we would be changed from the inside out by your word. And we might leave this place ready, all the more ready, to live for you. And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Are you a good listener? I think we probably all like to think of ourselves as good listeners, having time for people and that kind of thing. But maybe sometimes we wonder about other people. If you ever have that experience of you're talking to someone, maybe in the church hall over coffee after the service, and you're just aware that they're slightly looking over your shoulder for someone more interesting to talk to or something like that. We're very aware, aren't we, about wanting to be listened to when we're speaking. We probably think we're good listeners, but I wonder how good at listening we really are. Maybe you've done courses to help you be a good listener, and you know, active listening, about you say back to people what they've just said to show that you've been listening and that you've taken it on board, and having the right body posture. When Becca was a nurse, she said that they all sort of adopted a particular head tilt when they were listening to a patient, not on purpose, but it was just sort of, it was one of those things that reassured people that you are listening to them. Listening is important to us, isn't it? We want to be listened to. Well, James is talking about being a good listener, and verse 19 is a wonderful proverb for life, isn't it? My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you weren't here last week, James is very much a pastor and a preacher. His writing is very sort of in your face. It's a bit like the book of Proverbs. Lots of it draws on the Sermon on the Mount, which was that first reading from Matthew 5, Jesus' famous sermon there. James's letter is almost like a sermon written down. It contains lots of vivid imagery and little illustrations, and we're going to come to one of them very much this morning. Full of this wisdom for us. Last week we were seeing that in the midst of trials and temptations, that the Christian response is to cry out to God for wisdom as to how to keep going in those trials and temptations. Do listen to Joe's sermon on the website if you've not listened to it. Really helpful, because we all go through those. And actually, as we come to this concept of listening, don't leave that context behind. Because I think it's when life is really difficult, it really puts its finger on how good we are at listening. Particularly at listening to God, which is what James is most interested in. That's the kind of listening he's really talking about in verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So are you a good listener to God? That's very much our question for this morning. And we're going to see a couple of things. The sermon points are either behind me or they're on the handout on the back of the notice sheet. A couple of things about what God's definition of being a good listener is. So first there you can see, good listeners humbly accept God's word. Good listeners humbly accept God's words. I expect to all know the adage, don't we, that we're given one mouth and two ears, and they're to be used in that proportion. And again, that's a helpful little rule of thumb to say. But actually, when James is talking about listening, he's not just talking about our ears. He's not talking about hearing. He's talking about listening. He's talking as much about our minds and our hearts, our attitudes, what goes on the inside, as much as anything else. Hence why he follows it through. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Because that's the response of the heart, isn't it? Well, if you're a Christian here this morning, verse 18 is true of you, the end of last week's passage. God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. It was through listening And listening not just with your ears, but with your heart to God's words, that you were born again, that you became a Christian. That's a fundamental description of what it is to be a Christian. That as we heard God's word explained to us, usually by another person, actually God worked by his Spirit to bring about a new birth in our hearts, to bring us from death to life. Now James is writing this letter to those who are Christians. Just as many of us are here this morning. Maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. It's lovely to have you here. We always welcome people who aren't Christians yet to be amongst us. And as you listen, see maybe what preconceptions about God and his word are changed in your mind through what James has to say to us this morning. Because I think some of it is very surprising, very helpful for us all. But if you're a Christian, God has planted his word deep in you, and he's working in you by his Spirit. And the question is, will we listen carefully? Will we work with God in that? Verse 21 picks up on this theme. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. The word which brought you from death to life, which saved you. The word about the Lord Jesus, his grace and mercy and forgiveness. The love of God that forgives us our sins and brings us with great hope and assurance to a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God has done for us. The question is, how will that change us? How will we live in the light of that? And so we come to this illustration that lies at the heart of this passage and is so helpful, so vivid for us this morning. It's there in verses 23 and 24. The illustration of the mirror. James says, anyone who listens to the words but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So imagine looking in the mirror in the morning. And what do you see? Well, maybe your hair is a bit of a mess and you've got something caught in your teeth. And if you're a lady, maybe your makeup is a bit messed up and you can see a sort of splodge on your top and a few spots, blemishes on your face and things like that. You look in the mirror and you look hard, don't you, to see what you look like. And we know that the mirror doesn't lie. The TV camera might lie, but the mirror doesn't lie to us. We see things reflected back to us in the mirror, and we take note of them. We recognize that they need sorting out. You don't question the mirror. Well, that is what James is saying our attitude to God's word is to be. As we read it for ourselves, or as we hear it in church or whatever other context, good listeners will have hearts that are set to humbly accept it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not allowed to ask questions about God's word to help us to understand it better, but our hearts are set to say it is true, it is good, it is right. And the particular context that James is speaking about here seems to be when it points out our faults. Now, God's word is wonderful. And there's a whole psalm in the Old Testament written about how wonderful and lovely and beautiful God's word is. And so James is focusing on one aspect of our expectation as we come to God's word. But it is a very helpful aspect for us all to have a think about. As we come to God's word, we are to expect God's word to be like a mirror. To be like a mirror showing what we're like, not on the outside so much, but on the inside. To help us to see ourselves as God sees us. And that will involve, no doubt, us seeing something of God's glory and his perfection. What he is like, totally holy in every way. Yes, we will see the wonder of the good news to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we see that, we will also see what we are really like on the inside. And this is true of all of us, whether we are Christians or not. God's word will show us that we are not what we should be. God's word will show us our sin, our disobedience, our rebellion against him, our propensity to go our own way. God's word will show us how far we fall short of God's glory. And again, James doesn't mince his words, does he, in verse 21? It will show us the moral filth and evil that we have within ourselves. We probably like to tone it down, but remember, this is speaking with God's eyes, and he is perfect. Just the slightest little bit of pride or propensity to gossip or whatever it might be in our hearts is to him evil, and it is morally dirty, filthy in his eyes. I wonder whether that is your experience when you come to God's words, your expectation of one of the things that will happen when we engage with God's words. Elsewhere in the Bible, it says that God's word is useful for teaching us, for rebuking us, correcting us, and training us in righteousness. Well, rebuking and correcting aren't always easy to hear. Sometimes we're very aware of our faults and we find it really helpful when people point them out. Sometimes not so. Certainly, there are times when Becca speaks to me and she engages with me in pointing out one of my many faults. Now, how do I respond in those instances? Well, the temptation is for me to start defending myself, or maybe justifying that behaviour, or minimising it, like saying that it's not very wrong, or maybe start pointing out some of her faults, just to sort of get my own back. But my first temptation is to start talking. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. And maybe if my conscience is particularly pricked by what Becca says, I might start talking in a slightly cross voice and begin to get a bit angry. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. Do you see what James is showing us here? None of us like being corrected. We all like to think that by and large we get things right and we're quite good and nice, that we're good listeners as much as anything else. But the real truth of our hearts is that that is not the case. And we are deceived. James uses that word a number of times through this, in verse 16 last week and then again in today's passage in verse 22 and 26. If we think we don't need correcting by God, that we've arrived, that we're the finished product, then we're just fooling ourselves. We're not fooling anyone else. No one around us, and certainly not God. As I said, I think trials and temptations can be the time when this is particularly put under the microscope, when it is even harder to listen to God in this context. And that's why we need to cry out to God for that wisdom, the wisdom to keep listening to him, not to start talking back at him and accusing him of all sorts of things, but to allow ourselves to be changed by whatever trial or temptation it is that he's bringing into our life, because we know it is for our good and it will make us different, more like the Lord Jesus is doing it, to draw us closer to himself. God is showing us how simply to grow in his righteousness. Speaking, becoming angry, verse 20, they don't produce the righteousness that God desires. The right way of living, the living after the way that God would want us to live. No, they don't help us in that. If we won't listen but just speak and become angry, then the fruit will be quite different. And so James says, humbly accept God's word to us. So let me ask again, how is your listening? I guess the first question is, how much time do we devote to listening to God in whatever context that may be, opening up his word on our own? coming along to church and listening to sermons, catching up maybe on the website when we've not heard, so we get to hear the whole of a book all the way through and see how it builds up a picture and a story for us. Maybe it's going along to one of our midweek groups, a home group, and meeting with other Christians there to listen to God's word together and help one another to listen. Maybe it's just meeting with one other Christian to chat and pray together, or in a prayer triplet. Maybe you like reading books that explain the Christian faith. There's books on the table at the back that are all free to those who want to take them to help them to listen to God. How much time do we devote to it? And when we do listen, is our expectation that amongst everything else that God will say to us, there will be things where he's pointing out the faults that are within us, the wrong, the sin that lies within our hearts, those hard bits? Because that's what he's most interested in about us, to grow us to maturity, to completeness in the Lord Jesus Christ, to become more like him day by day. So good listeners humbly accept God's word. And second, good listeners obediently do what God's word says. So let's go back to the mirror. We only got halfway through the story there, really. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. So the first part is to listen carefully and humbly accept what God's word, the mirror, is showing us. But actually, if we stop there, it's worthless. We're still self-deceived, verse 22 says. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Yeah, maybe sometimes we listen to a sermon or we read God's word and it does challenge us. It's like God gets out his magnifying glass and shows us an area of our life that does need changing, that is not right. And we go, yes, I can see that, God. But if we walk away and don't actually do anything about it, we're still not listening properly, says James. That is merely to deceive ourselves. To listen properly, we need to go away and do what God's word says, and do it right as well. Verse 25 tells us, whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, that's God's word, and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. God's word is perfect. It's a reflection of who God is. It shows us everything that we need to know to live as one of God's people. And if we were able to keep it fully in every respect, as Jesus said in Matthew 5, then life would be perfect. Sadly, we can't. But God wants us to pursue that life, to look into God's word and see, yes, this is his perfect law. And it's not a law that constrains us, it's a law that frees us. If there's a fish living in an aquarium, then as long as it is subject to the water, the law of water, it enjoys freedom. As soon as you take it out of the water, it might be free of the water, but that is a false freedom, isn't it? The fish will die. Well, so for us, where we thrive best is in the will of God. That is what we were created for. That's our water, as it were. And so as we look into God's word, that's where we find the life that will help us to thrive. A bit like the person with the mirror. If they see their problems and they sort them out and scrub themselves up, then they can walk out into the day knowing that they're starting on the right foot, rather than the opposite. So James gives the illustration, doesn't he? The person looks in the mirror, and just as they're about to do something about it, the phone rings and something important comes up and they walk off and they forget all about what they've seen and do nothing about it. Well, I'm guessing that as Christians, we can do that quite easily, because changing on the inside is hard. Humbly accepting what God's word is hard, because often we don't want to admit that we're in the wrong. Listening to a trusted friend helping us to see something that is sinful about us is hard. It's brave of them to say that to us. Will we listen? Or will we walk away unchanged? Do what it says. You may know Jesus' famous story from the end of the Sermon on the Mount about the two builders. You may remember the song from when you were a child. The wise and the foolish builder. The bit that a lot of people forget is that actually both of them heard God's word. Both of them were listening to God's word. But again, it was a question of what they did with it. The foolish person, the foolish builder, went away and built their life on sand. The wise person went away and built their life on the rock, on the Lord Jesus. They both heard about Jesus, but one of them chose to go their own way. Only the wise builder chose to go Jesus' way and to build their life upon him. So let's not deceive ourselves. Let's listen carefully and humbly and accepting God's word. But let's also commit to do something about it. And that's why some people like to take notes during sermons. Not so they can just give a précis of the sermon, I hope. But so if there is something that strikes them about something they need to change, they can write it down, note it down, and think about it later. Pray about it. Because it's all too easy in a sermon, isn't it? You have the sermon and you listen, and hopefully there's something that is beneficial in the sermon, and then the rest of the service carries on, and then we go through to coffee, and it's easy to get distracted by children or by whatever else is going on. And those good intentions that you had whilst listening to the sermon just evaporate and get taken away from us. That's why I put a question at the bottom of the notice sheet. So even if you've not bought a pen, hopefully that's a helpful question to take away and think about. It'd be great for people to chat to one another over coffee afterwards, to help each other to think, well, how is God's word going to change me this week? I mean, this is quite a fundamental kind of change sermon, isn't it? It's a change about how we listen to God's word, so that in future weeks, as we listen to God's word rightly, then we'll hear all sorts of other changes. Because that's what James goes on to in the last couple of verses of the passage. Actually, verses 26 and 27 raise a number of issues that the whole of the rest of the letter is about. As I said, it's a bit like the introduction to a sermon, and is going to come back to these themes in the remaining chapters of the book. So let me just summarise briefly what he's doing there. He's saying, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Go away and do what it says. But make sure you hear rightly and go away and do the right thing. You can be just as deceived by thinking that you've heard rightly and actually go away and do completely the wrong thing. What is ultimately worthless, verse 26. A lot of people go away and do their religious bits, and God said, no, that wasn't what I was interested in at all. There are things that you can do, religion, that are pure and faultless in our Father's eyes. But many people walk away from God's word, mishear it, and end up doing completely the wrong thing. They think he's more interested in our outward show than actually whether we've really listened on the inside and heard him, and are changing from the inside out. And in these verses, James shows us that by focusing in on three areas in particular. Verse 26, keep a tight rein on your tongue. Again, if you don't, then it's a way to deceive yourselves. We may think we're okay on the outside, we're doing some good things in God's sight, but how often do our words give us away? When we speak a little bit too quickly and our words are a little bit too angry, possibly. Well, chapter 3 in a few weeks' time is going to come back to this issue of what we say, how we use our tongues and what they show about our hearts and how hard we're listening to God. Our words often give us away, don't they? Beginning in verse 27, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Here James does focus on our deeds, and chapter 2 is going to come back to this much more, so more over the next few weeks. But it's questioning who we care for. In the first century, orphans and widows were those who had nothing. There were no benefit systems for them. They would have had no one to look after them and nothing to live off. They would have truly been in distress, destitution. Will our hearts be moved with compassion to the helpless? In today's world, that might still include widows and orphans, but a whole number of other people as well. Are we like God in his compassion, wanting to help the helpless, those who can't repay us? What do our deeds show about our hearts? Or are our deeds just to make us look a little bit better on the outside? And then third, the end of verse 27. Keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. We saw some of that pollution earlier, didn't we, in verse 21, the moral filth and evil that are so prevalent, certainly in the world around us and sadly still in our hearts too. And here James is really going for our hearts, and chapters 4 and 5 are going to pick up on this. We want to listen carefully so that our hearts are changed and are influenced by God rather than polluted by the world, by those who are set not to listen to God around us. Do you see, James is focused in on our words, our deeds, and our thoughts, our hearts. Earlier in our confession, we confessed those ways in which our words and our deeds and our thoughts had not been right before God. If we listen carefully, if we humbly accept God's word about what we're truly like on the inside, if we ask him to show us our sin, and then obediently do what God's word says, he will change us from the inside out, little by little. And that is what good listening to God is all about. That is the response that God wants in us whenever we come to his word. So how can we grow in that? How can we help one another in that? It's not something we do on our own. Quite often, having good Christian friends, brothers and sisters, who we share a little bit more of our hearts with maybe than we do with others, where it's appropriate, they can help us. They can keep us to account. When we say, God's really showing me this part of my life, where I'd love him to change me, would you pray for me in that? That is a wonderful support that we can share with one another. That is the wise kind of life that James was talking about last week. Maybe it is something about us that is highlighted by the particular trials and temptations that we face. I know in my life that's often been when God has shown me my sin a little bit more clearly. And that is when it's all the more important to speak to God in prayer, to ask him to keep our hearts soft, and to speak to just a few others, asking them to help us, to be there as a support as we walk through those times, that God would change our hearts, so that we together as a church family and individuals within that church family would be growing to that completeness, that maturity in Christ that we all long for. So good listeners, humbly accept God's word. Good listeners, obediently do what God's word says. What area of good listening can we grow in this week? Why don't I just leave a few moments of quiet for us all to respond in our hearts, in our own way, and then I'll say a prayer in about half a minute or so. But let's just have a moment's quiet or two.